Why don't we pray, read our Bibles together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so good and kind and loving, and you give us these moments that we can gather together and sing to you and praise you and open your word and read what you have given and what you say to us even today and remember Jesus together. So as we do that, God, I pray that you through your word would make what we read in the Bible living and powerful, that your spirit would apply it to our hearts, that we would come to know and love you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. I'm going to give the answer, so no pressure. What is something that's fundamental in our walk with God, one of the most basic disciplines? And if you were going to say read your Bible, that is a correct answer. But the correct answer for today is prayer. Prayer. And in this whole series in the Psalms, we haven't talked specifically about prayer, which surprised me. I have a bad short-term memory, so I actually had to go back as I was preparing this week. I thought, okay, we've talked about prayer before. We're going to talk about prayer again. I don't want to, repeat myself. I went back and looked at all the messages and didn't listen to all of them. That would have been too long. Just looked, titles. We haven't talked about prayer, which is odd in the Psalms. So I think in theory, we think that we pray maybe more than we do. And maybe, and this may not be true for all of us, you may be the exception to this, but I think for some of us, and some of this may just be confessional on my part, in reality, I don't think we express ourselves to God, definitely not as much as we think we do. We're more used to talking to other people. I can pick up my phone and text somebody or talk to my wife or my kids or vent with somebody when we have needs, when things aren't going right in our life. We talk to other people about how we feel, what's happening around us, but I think that we pray regularly. If you have habits, before I eat and before I go to bed, and so I feel like I'm regularly praying, but in reality, I think it's possible to regularly pray because we pray at these appointed times, but maybe we don't spend a lot of time conversing with God. Now, that may or may not be your reality. If that's true for you, then we would say, well, why? Well, why does that happen? Well, why do we feel like we pray quite a bit, but maybe we don't converse with God deeply and profoundly? Maybe it's because we don't take the time. We don't put priority in it because we have to be kind of by ourselves. Because if you're talking to me and I'm trying to talk to God, that doesn't work. So I kind of have to be by myself or at least isolated. I have to turn off the voices in my head. I have to turn off my cell phone. For some of us, one of those two is harder than the other. You decide for you which one it is. When do we do that? That's a hard moment to be in when everything's turned off and we can talk to God. And then in those moments when we do that, we get distracted. Or, I don't know about you. That's not a we thing. I get distracted really badly. It's hard to focus. And when I'm talking with somebody in real time, it's hard for me to focus. And we're talking, it's like, okay, don't get distracted by that other person, that other thing, and don't think about this, and just focus. What are they saying? And say yes, and oh no, that's a no thing. Or whatever we're saying, we say it. But then when it's someone you can't see that you're talking to, they talk about distraction city. Maybe another reason that we don't express ourselves as much to God is because we don't know how to pray. We have, over the years, it's easy to develop some superficial kind of things that we say that are good things, right? It's like, be with us, bless us, take care of everybody. Thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given to me. Good things that we say, whatever these nice phrases are. But if we repeat them enough, they can start to lose their meaning. If I always say, thank you for this day, thank you for everything you gave me, bless me, amen. What are some of yours? What are some of the phrases that just you bow your head and close your eyes and start talking and they just come out without even, that's the problem, without even thinking. They're just there. And maybe this isn't something that you would say, oh, that's me. Maybe your prayers are rich and deep and full of life. And you feel that you completely and profoundly express yourself to God regularly. Every day you just talk. You can't stop talking to Him. Or maybe you feel like your prayers frequently fall into a bit of a rut, saying the same things. And when you say, profoundly communicate with my Creator, I wish I could, but I don't. Not that often. Sometimes, A lot of times I don't. I think there's something that can help us, and we're meandering our way to the Psalms. I think there's something that can help us with this is observing how other people pray. Not always, but sometimes. Have you ever heard somebody pray? I wrote in my notes, seen somebody pray, but that would be breaking the number one rule of praying, right? Have you ever heard somebody pray and you thought to yourself, wow, I wish I could pray like them? Because it's not like they're putting on a show. It doesn't seem like it. They're like really talking to God authentically and more completely than I'd ever talked to God. That happened to me just a while back. Someone was praying and I was like, wow. I was praying what they were with them, but also I was struck by, I want to pray like that. I think of how Jesus demonstrated for his followers and then taught them how to pray. When you pray, pray like this. Seeing other people pray, listening to other people pray, seeing and reading what other people pray can help us pray better. And here's where the Psalms can help us with this. Because in the Psalms, we can observe people praying, David and others praying. The Psalms, as we know, they're songs that were sung to God. But some of them are very much prayers that were, whether they were sung or not, they were prayers and crying out to God that were directed to God. They were prayers to God. Some of the Psalms go very much on the side of worship songs. Others go to petitions and prayers to God. And looking at some of the prayers in the Psalms maybe can help us learn to pray just a little bit better and express ourselves better to God. And if you say, well, wait a second, now, aren't we descended from part of the restoration movement? We don't read other people's prayers. We don't pray other people's prayers. No, we're not going to pray them word for word. We're going to look at them and see how David and the other writers of the Psalms prayed to God, the things they said. Look at the content of their prayers. Look at how they express themselves. And I think as we do this, it's going to help us learn to pray better. We'll see how they opened up to God, which should inspire us to truly open ourselves to God. Their example in the Psalms will teach us to pray, to cry out to God, to talk to God, to converse with God. The big idea that I see in the Psalms that we're going to read is this. We can truly express ourselves to God. We don't have to settle for a prayer life where we just kind of say the same things. Now I'm done praying and I'll get on with my day. But we can express ourselves to God the way David did and even more so. Let's read some examples together. Go to Psalm 61. The first four are going to go in order and then at the end we're going to jump back. So just a little guidepost on the way. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing your praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. I read that and I hear a prayer that's full of need for God. He describes how much he depends on God. It's also a prayer of praise. He's praising God as he's talking to him. He lifts God up throughout the prayer. And then at the end, he explicitly says, I'm going to praise you and glorify you with my words and with my life. Go to Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. That your way be known on earth. See, this is where the first part, I read the first verse, I was like, maybe that's not a prayer to God. He's asking that something kind of passively. But then verse 2, he's talking to God, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let the ends of the earth fear him. It's a prayer full of thanksgiving, isn't it? He expresses their collective need for God's presence. He describes what God has done for them and been doing for them and will continue to do for them. And then more than anything, he expresses gratitude to God for his goodness and even for his judgments, for his justice, and for his guidance, for how he's guided them. Go to Psalm 123, verse 1. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of the maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. This is a song, this is a prayer that is full of a professing who God is, of lifting up God's name and saying, here is who you are, which I know is odd, telling God what he's like. But there is so much of that in the prayers that we're instructed to pray. Even in the model prayer that Jesus gave his followers, the first half is telling God. And then the end, so say half of that prayer is dedicated to telling God who God is and what he's like, praising him by describing who he is to himself. He professes that God is sovereign and that we need him and that we depend on him completely. Go to Psalm 130. Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? With you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, more than watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With him there is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. It's a prayer of desperation. At least how it starts out, right? He's desperate. He's calling out from the deep. He's at the bottom of the pit, whether that's emotionally or physically. He can't anymore. He's done. He's desperate. And he expresses desperation also because of his sin. He's conscious of his rebellion against God, how he's offended God. He confesses his sin. He knows that he doesn't deserve God's mercy. It's also a prayer that declares the hope that he has in God, that God's children have in their Father. One more. Jump back to Psalm 69. There were a whole stack of other psalms, probably more than I put in the list. There was a whole stack, though, that I put in the list of. These are very much prayer psalms. I cut them down to these four plus Psalm 69. A lot of them were quite long. And so I thought, well, we need to do one of the longer extended prayers before we're done. So that's what Psalm 69 is. Verse 1, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim while with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs on my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What did I not steal? What I did not steal, must I now restore? So he goes to God in prayer in the middle of problems. He sometimes listen, we look down on praying when we have a problem. It's like, oh, I don't want to just go to God when I need something. I mean, you know, what kind of friend does that? That's a bad friend, right? But in almost every prayer, isn't it true that we need something from God? We ask Him for something. And the example in this psalm shows us there is no shame in going to God when we are not doing good, when we have need. Look at how detailed his petition is to God, how he describes what's happening in his emotions and what he feels. Look at verse 5 now. Oh God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me, O Lord God of hosts. Let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. He confesses his sin to God. God knows what they are. Again, it's like telling God what he's like when we tell him what we're like or even what we're going through. He knows what's happening. He knows what I've done. He knows the bad things David had done. But we should tell him. We should confess to God. We should confess to each other. We should also confess our sins to God like he does here. And then he asks God for restoration, that God would restore him and use him. Look at verse 7. For it is for your sake that I've borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I've become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons, for zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Words that are fulfilled completely in Jesus. Verse 10, when I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I'm the talk of those who sit in the gate, and drunkards make songs about me. Describes to God what he's experiencing at the hands of others, because he's devoted to God, instead of going, you know, putting on Facebook or telling his best friend, he goes to God and he describes how badly people are treating him and what they're doing. Verse 13, but as for me, my prayers to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies or from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Expressing his need for God, his dependence on God. Verse 16, answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not my face from your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul. Redeem me. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food. For my thirst, they gave me sour water. Wine to drink, other words that are fulfilled in Jesus on the cross. He describes how horribly he's been treated once again. He goes back to God with that, how bad he feels, and then he describes how much he trusts in God. In his words, you feel his deep need that he feels in his spirit and how broken he is, and also his confidence that God will hear him and save him and respond to him. Look at verse 22. Let their own table before them become a snare. Now think about this. He's asking God. We ask God, would you do this? Would you do that? He's asking God to do something. And when they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so they cannot see. Make their loins tremble continually. Pour out your indignation on them. Let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents, for they persecute him who you have struck down. They recount the pain of those you have wounded. Add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. He tells God what he wants God to do. And I read that and I go, ooh, maybe that's not what God ended up doing. Maybe it is. It's definitely a little more harsh than I feel comfortable praying for, even for my worst enemy. Okay, I don't think I have enemies, but if I did, I don't know. That just seems really, really harsh what he's asking for. But listen, Give him this. He's expressing what he feels. He's telling, he's going to God. And in that moment, that's what he wants God to do to these people. And he's asking God, he's saying, this is how I want you to resolve my problem. He's asking God for what he needs, what he desires in that moment. Look at verse 29. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns or hooves. When the humble sees it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion, build up the cities of Judah. People shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. He praises God. Even in this moment of deep, deep need and despair and hurt, he lifts up and he exalts the name of God. In his prayer, this isn't like I pray and now I'm going to sing. He's praying to God. He's talking to God. He's telling God what his need is. And then he drops into just praising and exalting God, not with just a couple words, you know, I bless your name, God, and then keep going. But with this long extended time of worship, he ends his prayer in worship and praise to God. In this prayer, I see three things. I see the different components of his prayer, the different things, different categories, different themes of his conversation with God. It's crying out to God in need. It's confessing sin and asking for restoration to be restored and healed. It's describing problems with other people. It's proclaiming how much he wants God and needs and depends on God. And it's praising God. That's what makes up this prayer. I also, when I read this, I see the deep emotion that he expresses to God. Not just in this psalm, in all the ones we've read, it's as if for the author of the psalms, praying was not just something that, just a cold kind of, and I got to pray and then I have to. No, he was expressing his deep emotions to God. I doubt that he expressed emotions that deep to anyone else in his life because he expresses them so deeply to God. The third thing that I see in this psalm are all the different details that he includes. It's not a short, simple, you know, keep it short. I don't want an abundance of words. I know that's also biblical, but he's not just repeating things. He's expressing how he feels and what he needs with details, with very poetically. He's telling God what God already knows. It's in his prayer, I see how you and I can and could and even should express ourselves to God. So what should we do? What's the application from this? I think when we read these psalms, the biggest thing that I take away is we should pray a lot more. Maybe not we. I should pray a lot more. We should pray more frequently. We should say more when we pray. We should express more of how we feel when we pray. And I'm not necessarily talking about our public prayers, but when we're by ourselves talking to God, we should pour out our hearts before him. Here's a question, an application question for us. What can we learn from David's prayers? We've read them. We've seen the example. What can we take from his prayers and put into our prayers? Maybe for you, it's the different kinds of things that he prayed. Maybe you look at your prayers and you say, I kind of pray for this and I pray for that, and then I'm kind of done. Maybe, and so we see, I should confess when I pray. I should express my need to God. I should declare who he is. I should worship him. I should thank him. All these different kind of components of prayer. I should do these different things. Maybe that's something you take from the way David prayed. Maybe for you, it's the amount that he prayed. I read the Psalms and I'm struck by how much he talked to God and how much he prayed to God. So I need that. I need to do that more. Maybe for you, it's the amount of emotion that he expressed when he prayed, just opening himself up to God. Maybe it's how many words he used and how he expressed what was happening and how he felt and what he thought. Honestly, for me, it's all of those. So whatever it is for you, here's another application question. How could you incorporate that thing that you got from David's prayers, how can you incorporate that into your prayers during this week? And if you're listening to this and you say, you're still not a Christian and you're hearing this kind of from the outside looking in, I want to invite you to remember the last verses that David prayed in Psalm 130. Look at verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With him there is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This connection with God that David has been describing in this prayer and in all of them that we've read, this is the connection that God has with his children. David says, O Israel, that was the people of God in that time. Here he is describing the hope that God's children have in their Father, the one who hears their prayers, the one who gives them mercy. We can all pray to our Creator, whether you are a Christian or not. But listen, the communication with God and the relationship with the one you're talking to is completely different when you're his child. And while you haven't surrendered to him, when you pray to him, you're talking to someone from the outside, talking in. But when you surrender to Jesus, when you repent, are baptized, from that moment forward, you enter into the family of God, and then you'll be able to share this connection with the one who now is your heavenly Father every time you open your mouth and pray to him. And in this community, when you say, I want him to be my Father, I want to be able to pray to my Father, tell one of us, one of the men who's been up here, you can be guided in repenting and being baptized and surrendering to Jesus in that moment. For those of us who have entered into Christ, look at those words again. Those same words take us directly to the cross. Verse 7, Psalm 130. O Israel, hope in the Lord. And we could, I think, have the liberty now to say, O people of God, Christians, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. With him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This verse, these verses, that calls us to remember the death of our Savior. Because that is the reason that you and I can have the hope that David expresses here today in our lives. That is how, because of Jesus' death, that's how we can know in the depths of our being that we have received mercy, abundant mercy from God, that he has redeemed us from our guilt and our shame and the punishment, that we are his beloved children, and that when we talk to God, we're talking to our Father, and he knows us, and we know that he listens to us, that we can hope in him because of what Jesus did on the cross. Let's remember that now together as we take the bread and cup. God, thank you for being good and kind and loving to us. Thank you for giving us these moments and through your word in which you invite us to come further in, to experience more of your presence, not just in this moment, but as we go through our lives this week. So God, I pray that through your Spirit, you would remind us of this as we leave here today, tomorrow, as we go to work, the next day, on through the week, that you would remind us we need to talk to you more, that we can express, that we should express what we're feeling, what's going on to you. We should talk to you a lot. Thank you for this moment, God. Together we can remember that the reason we can talk to you and call you Father and know that there is hope in you and abundant redemption and mercy is because of Jesus and what he did on the cross. So as we take this bread and we take this cup and remember his body, remember his blood, remember his death, we thank you. Thank you that we can be your children. Thank you that we can talk to you. There is entrance before you because of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.